Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Growing Good. This is your host, Alessandra. I don't know if I ever mentioned that my Rub Your Tummy theme song is off of the Sesame Street original cast recording. Very hard to find. I have in the studio today.
But definitely worth going and checking out, I imagine.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I found it on vinyl, and then with my producer, Jack,
you found it on
had
what?
On vinyl. The
oh,
original
cast. I remember what those were.
And then my producer, Jack, was able to find it somehow online. So that is the theme song of Growing Good Story. I don't know if I ever shared that with you. I have in the studio with me today, Mr. Clay Gordon. Hello.
Good morning, everyone.
Clay is a renowned chocolatier master.
Okay.
I just made
that
up.
works for me.
And today we're going to be talking about his current project, which is opening a fine and raw chocolate factory. He is the chocolate factory supervisor, and it's going to be right here on our block. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool. I open up the back door of the chocolate factory, and I can see the Heritage Radio Network studio.
Yeah. Welcome to the family. Right. It's so exciting.
If we were thinking about it, we had a little bit more time, we'd actually take a cable from the back of the factory and put the mixer and everything in the factory, and we could do a live remote from the factory. But
that's very loud.
It's sort of like a... when you go into a Mexican restaurant that's really authentic and they have the jukebox running at about 5,000 dBs and it's like it's really, really distorted and things like that. So the workers are in there. They're from all over Central and South America. And it's a great crew. I mean, we've been having a lot of fun taking care of stuff. So.
I'm so excited. I actually was just able to go to the space before the show and Clay gave me, you know, the whole rundown. The build out is going to be amazing. It's a massive space. Give them the address first, please. Exact address.
Well, the street entrance is at 288 Siegel Street, so it's just off the Morgan Street stop, mm-hmm. which is on Bogart Street mm-hmm. Here in, I suppose we're now calling it Morgantown, sort of at the frontier.
Is that true?
The frontier
Bushwick
between
people,
Bushwick and East Williamsburg. Right?
Well, there is so much happening, we might as well be caught. This block should just be its own town. I'm into
rocks.
It. Morgantown.
I want you to know that it's been really quite wonderful. We've been involved in the project. We first looked at the space almost a year ago in September, I suppose. Mm-hmm. September, October, and working with the building owner who owns the building where the Swallow Cafe and Brooklyn's Natural
yeah.
is in and
yeah.
in this space. And it's been a fabulous experience.
That's great.
Commuting from Westchester
right.
Down here.
Which is also where I hail from. We have two things in common. He lives in Larchmont. I live in Mamaroneck sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the space. It's massive. It's like 2,300 square
feet. About 2,300 square feet, yeah.
It's right now they are trying to keep their all-exposed brick walls. So mm-hmm. they're taking care of that. And I got a walkthrough. There's going to be, can I share?
Of course.
Amazing. Because it's going to be kind of like a museum, like really like Willy Wonka style. You get to see, there's going to be this whole part that's like glass and steel where you get to see the people making the chocolate and packaging it. And you called it
the confectionery kitchen.
Exactly. The confectionery chicken. I mean,
kitchen. Just for you,
that's
Alessandra.
That's a tongue twister. Confectionery kitchen.
Just for you, Alessandra. We'll get a chicken mold and we'll
awesome.
Make you a chocolate. We'll make you a chocolate chicken. So we'll make a chocolate chicken in our confectionery kitchen, which is a...
It is. I told you. And then they're going to build their own beautiful mezzanine for an office to utilize space. They just put in a cool room, which
yeah,
what you were
yeah.
telling me is very important in chocolate making because they make the chocolate. They got to cool it. You got to keep the temperature to a certain thing. It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They are building their own furniture from somebody. Basically, this is all going to be, it's funded and a representation of Fine and Raw, which
right.
is a very
right.
famous chocolate company.
Yeah. I mean,
for 4.5 years, they've only been open 4.5 years. That's an amazing job.
Fine and Raw is founded by a gentleman by the name of Daniel Sklar, South mm-hmm. Africa, and moved to the United States. He's a young guy.
Wow.
Was in financial services. Got tired, I suppose, of working in spreadsheets all day long.
Right.
Was interested in raw foods and got into chocolate and found he had a talent and aptitude for making it, and has done a great job over the last 4 or 4.5 years mm-hmm. of growing the business, establishing for himself an identity, not only here in New York, but around the country. Mm-hmm. And I've known him, almost the entire time he's been in business.
Amazing. I was going to say, and out of everybody in the nation and the world, because it is a worldwide wholesaler, he chose you to, run and overview the new Fine and Raw Chocolate Factory that's going to be opening.
Yeah, well,
it's exciting.
Yeah, when you get involved in this, it's a lot about personalities, and Daniel's a great client to work for. We have a great personal relationship. We have a good rapport, and he was able to explain for me his vision, and been able to do a good job in terms of intermediating between Daniel and the construction crew, the architect, everybody who's doing the work, to make sure that we're able to maintain that vision. And so it's been a lot of fun. I'm a fine artist. I'm a photographer by training.
Yeah.
Got into the chocolate business by accident, literally,
really?
18 years ago. It was not something I was looking to do.
Wow.
It was not something I was looking to do, but once I said, this is
I'm
something
good
I
at
have
chocolate.
To, well, I have to go do this. Well, no, for me, it was an entrepreneurial epiphany when I realized there were no professional chocolate critics.
Sure. Is that how you
critics.
Started
yeah.
by being a chocolate critic?
Yeah. There were food critics, wine critics.
So
all
in
these
that,
other...
you just got all the knowledge of finding out what bean, and you were explaining to me, you're going to be carrying at first two main kinds of chocolate bases.
Well, yeah.
It's all very complicated. Please share with my audience. It's fascinating.
I suppose it is complicated unless you're on the inside and doing it. So Fine and Ross sells both chocolate bars and then confections. So bonbons and chocolate bars that have inclusions, additives to them.
Right.
And so you have to make the base chocolate.
Right.
And then you have to add things to the chocolate to flavor it and do other things. So we're going to be looking at using a blend of beans from a number of different origins. All the beans are certified organic.
Awesome.
Yeah. So... But we're looking
that
at
means that they don't have like glue and stuff on the beans, because I heard that like people do that, right? They like put glue
on
the beans to make them last long or something, or
no.
Is that coffee?
That I don't know.
Something crazy. Anyways, your beans are organic.
The beans are certified organic. We'll be sourcing them from at least 3 countries, but starting off in the Dominican Republic, Bolivia, and Peru, bringing them here to the United States. And then we're going to be blending the beans. And we're going to be creating, a couple of base chocolates. We're not using conventional white sugar. We're using an alternative sugar, which is a little friendlier. So we don't know what the exact percentage of sugar relative to cocoa mm-hmm. is going to be in the base chocolate. And then you'll have an unsweetened chocolate. And then you can mix the unsweetened chocolate into the base chocolate to increase the intensity in the cocoa percentage. But it's very low temperature processed. We're looking at something unusual in the raw chocolate world, which is how do you have a microbial kill step? Because mm-hmm. when the beans come in, there's the potential that they're contaminated with yeasts and molds as well as Salmonella and E. coli, because animals walk over the beans. And things like that. So you have to worry about that. And so we're working on, there are some people who are doing it, but they're using hydrogen peroxide. They soak the beans in hydrogen peroxide. And
that's what I think I was thinking about when I said the glue.
Okay. Well, hydrogen peroxide is fine.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
There must be someplace else. No, that's good.
Oh, no, hydrogen peroxide is perfectly fine. It once it's exposed to oxygen and light,
it just
breaks down into conventional water and oxygen. So there's nothing wrong with hydrogen peroxide. It's just if you try to swallow it.
But I know. I have to hide all the bottles of hydrogen. I even have to hide the witch hazel from my son. This is the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. Like, where to put the...
Well, that's why it's in brown bottles. That's why hydrogen peroxide is a brown bottle. So
yeah, but he knows how to twist the tops. Like, they should come up with something... No, seriously, it's like the number 2 accidental overdose, medicine cabinet. Number 1, you want to know what number 1 is?
Yes, I do, actually.
Grandma's purse. That's a fact.
I didn't know that.
Number 1 accidental overdose
source for
children is a grandma's purse.
Oh, wow. And number 2 is the medicine cabinet.
Yep. Well, and all your cleaning or your clean whatever cabinet.
So anyway, so we're looking at using a naturally derived, organically certified substance as a part of that microbial kill step. But it's low, as you might imagine from a company whose name is Fine and Raw.
Right.
The goal is to do low temperature processing on the chocolate. So keep it below 118 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the maximum temperature for raw. So we've got, I've been working on a rather innovative production. So not only am I laying out the space and supervising the construction, but I've also developed the manufacturing protocols.
Cool.
So how the chocolate is going to be made from the microbial kill step,
the whole thing, and then all the way to how it's going to be stored
to the finished chocolate. Yeah. So it's been
so cool.
A fun project for me, and it's stretching me because
he doesn't. And I asked him. My first thing was like, "Well, do you have like people, another partner, blah blah?" Like, no. It's like it's Clay and Daniel.
This is yeah.
And the building owner guy we were talking about.
Yeah, no, so yeah.
We're that's doing amazing. That. If you guys saw the space, it's huge. And what they're doing is just like so far out. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So
totally family friendly. I mean, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like something to do with your kids. Bring them to see how chocolate's made. Like what kid doesn't love that, you know?
Right. Yeah, everything is going to be open. You know, there's going to be enough distance separation so that from a food safety perspective, it shouldn't be an issue.
And you were also telling me there's going to be a little to-go window that you guys are
Yeah, we have a little window
on.
Out front so that we can actually serve directly out onto the street. And in addition to the chocolate, we're looking at chocolate and related beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And
Aqua frescas,
maybe. I mean,
yeah.
I
was out. Sky's the limit with the to-go station.
Well, that's true. And, you know, when the temperature around here about 100 degrees and right next door we got a natural food store, and somebody is delivering, you know, a truckload of watermelons, you're going.
Yeah, but that's Brooklyn for you. That's the Brooklyn love.
It is. It is.
You know, that's the vibe. That's why people come to Brooklyn.
Right. And so we also have, you know, 600 square feet or thereabouts of event space.
Right, which is what we're going to be talking about. They're also going to be, on top of all this, giving back to the community. They've laid out this massive space so that the front is going to have this like beautiful original handmade furniture. And they are looking to have events. Yeah. And so that, you know, you could have your event, whether it be, you know, for art or film or music or just a private party, while the chocolate is
during the day
made.
Or in the evening or whatever it's going to be. And one of the great things about the neighborhood, of course, is that, you know, Heritage Foods is there.
Sure.
We've got Roberta's here. Yeah. We're right next to Brooklyn's Natural. We got Kings County.
Yeah,
we got Swallow.
Whole scene. It's so exciting.
And so, you know, we got all these resources. I mean, I just went to the Pine Box. You know the Pine Box Rock Shop?
No.
It's a nice beer bar right around the corner from here.
Oh, cool.
So it's the neighborhood's it's hopping. It's like it's a lot of fun
I'm
to be
so
here.
I'm so excited. And I mean, obviously, I mean, Roberta's is always packed, so the people come, you know, and it's great.
No, it's a fabulous neighborhood, and I'm really happy to be here. I mean, I get on the train up in Westchester in the morning, and I look forward actually to getting out here and whatever is going to happen, because just people walking by. I mean, the reception we've got so far is just really quite remarkable.
Welcoming.
People looking in and, you know, wondering what's going on and wanting us to be here and wanting to be part of the neighborhood. And then the building owner, you know, specifically choosing this project to put in this space.
Right.
Because
and so
he's
we're
looking
talking
for
about
the long-term development of the neighborhood. Yeah.
It was an outside space between two buildings. Mm-hmm. And then they put in the roof to make it another space,
that's
which
correct.
Is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, been that like that for more than 15 years. And it was a metal shop at one point and a wood shop at another point. And
but this is going to be the first open to the public space they've
had. Yep.
Which is why you're dealing with so much build out, and we're talking about permits and all that fun stuff that's going to be all figured out by the grand opening.
We're, you know, have to work with New York State Agriculture and Markets in terms of making sure that the place is, you know, safe to operate a wholesale food manufacturing facility out of. And so,
right. Because the whole, let's talk a little bit about that. It is going to be a wholesale foods. So it's, you're selling the product, but people can also, people can hang out and eat it there.
But it's not a focus of what we're doing.
Okay.
I mean, it's not the sort of place where people will be able to come in, pick up a cup of coffee, you know, open up their laptops and spend 2 hours. Then we'd have to worry about New York City health regulations as opposed to New York State.
Well, that's good to
but
know.
But people can come in. People will be able to come in, have a hot chocolate, have
take
a cold
the little
chocolate,
tour.
Be able to look and see chocolate
fun.
Being made, smell.
Yeah.
At one point, the plans included having a fan in the front facade so we could blow the
so you
scent
just walk by and you're like, what's
there's
happening?
There's chocolate being made inside.
Why? That's a great idea.
It
you don't want to do that anymore?
Well, we have a little service window and we can keep the service window open. And we have these, we're building this really beautiful steel and glass facade and with these big 9-foot doors that will open on big sort of medieval hinges.
Yeah, really, really tall ceilings. Yeah. It's a beautiful build-out.
Yeah, they're 18-foot ceilings. And
something else that Clay was letting me know about, just because I'm such a mom, was about the life expectancy of chocolate, which he said can be up to like 2+ years, and that there's actually no water in chocolate. So when you see, like, if you open up like a Hershey Kiss, many of us do, or like old like Halloween candy, and like, you know how like it can get like pale whitey and you're like, ew, this is gross. That's actually not, that's not like
necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not, it's just, I mean, you know, it's not fun to look at, but the chocolate is actually, it's not like mold.
It's not mold.
And it's not like a water.
It's actually some of the fat, the cocoa butter,
right,
or other fats that have come out of suspension.
Just like oil, just like if you left something like oily, like, you know, and how like it just like separates.
Right. What has happened is the chocolate has gotten too warm. At some point, the chocolate has gotten too warm and then cooled down, and so the fat separates out. You know, the chocolate is not at its best.
Sure.
And there are some people who believe that there is no such thing as bad chocolate. I'm not one of those people. I've eaten a lot of chocolate in the last 18 years. I can tell you that there is some pretty atrocious chocolate out there, which I define as chocolate not worth the calories.
Right. Of course. Right. And then you were also telling me that if you do expand into a milk chocolate base, it's not gonna be with milk.
Probably not using a dairy ingredient. We may use a
coconut milk. You were talking about that. Might be cool.
Yeah. So all sorts of experiments.
All progressive.
One of the great things we get to do is we got a small chocolate manufacturing plant in a confectionery kitchen, and so
you can experiment.
Chocolate. It's chocolate. It brings out the inner 12-year-old. Let's just go have fun. Let's go try this and figure it out. So yeah, we have all sorts of interesting equipment. We don't plan to do anything with peanuts, but there's an Italian specialty, going back to your background, called gianduja.
Yeah, I know it. Right. It's like what are the big things, you know, that you get at the airport? Gosh, I can't believe I forget
Toblerone?
His name. Yeah. It's like based on that, right?
No.
Oh, totally not.
Toblerone is Swiss.
Oh, sorry. I totally took credit for that. That's like my big country thing. It's all over the place. You can't even like go into anywhere without that.
Tobler is Swiss, not Italian. I think. But in any event, gianduja started
off. You really
off,
do know chocolate.
I do know chocolate. I wrote a book on chocolate. It's called Discover Chocolate.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you can
and
go
people
to
can buy it on Amazon?
They can.
It's called Discover Chocolate?
Right.
By Clay
that's
Gordon.
That's where my Twitter handle comes from, Discover Choc.
Oh, that's
so it's
awesome.
The name of the book. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you go to my Twitter page, you'll see the cover of the book.
So that's a little bit more about Clay. We're going to take our little music break here, and we're going to be back with Mr. Clay Gordon, the chocolate man.
If you love your daughter right into the weather, wear my love like armor, the bullets cannot come. Just because they follow doesn't mean you gotta run. Make your mark on every tree. Love it, feel it forever. Prayer bombs land inside their shelter. Take a lock of my hair, give me your leather. Fight the growing shadows on our horizon. Burn down the world, all but our island. If you're caught, I'll cut you free. Love it.
The following is a message from HeritageFoodsUSA.com. Heritage Foods USA promotes genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply, committed to making wholesome, delicious, and sustainably produced heritage foods available to all Americans. Heritage Foods USA purchases 200 heritage pigs a week, each and every week, from a network of about 25 independent farms. In addition to pork, they also process about 7,500 heritage turkeys each November, as well as small amounts of other foods like heritage lamb, beef, and chicken. Learn more and order today at heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hey, we're back. This is Alessandra, and you are listening to Growing Good. And Clay, he might become my co-host. I'm not sure. You're going to be right around the corner. We're talking about Mr. Clay Gordon's new entrepreneurial project, and it's going to be the new Fine and Raw chocolate factory on our block. It's pretty amazing. And in our first part of our segment, we talked a little bit about the space and the address. And I actually want to talk about how I met Mr. Gordon, which was at our 100th episode Heritage Radio Network party at Santos. And there was lots of people, you know, with like little things to taste and, you know, lots of speeches, lots of drinking. But I was like zeroed in on this man because he was serving an original recipe of his.
That's right, an original recipe.
And I was like, what is this? I tasted it. It was so amazing. And it was a chocolate fondue made of chocolate, beer, and bacon. I kid you not. It was amazing.
Well, thank you.
And I felt like parents would really dig on it because, you know, when you become a parent, you're drinking less, and then it might make you feel good to know that you're eating a little chocolate with beer in it without getting totally, like, hammered or whatever. I don't know. You know, I like that. I cook with wine. I'm Italian. So, like, I throw it in my mushroom. I mean, whatever. I just throw
Absolutely.
It in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was cool to think about doing that with beer.
Well, one of the revelations I had since publishing the book is realizing that it's actually a lot easier to pair chocolate and beer than it is chocolate and wine.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of similarities between beer and chocolate, And a lot of it is the texture, the bubble structure of the beer. It's nice and soft.
Oh, cool.
And similar kind of ferment flavors that are with the roasty flavors. And so I was tasked for a special event that was being held at Jimmy's. You know, Jimmy is the host of Beer Sessions here on Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, cool.
To do for the event something with chocolate for Valentine's Day. And I got the idea of doing something with bacon because who doesn't love bacon?
I know, it was so good. I mean, it was so crazy taste. I mean, like, but it was so good.
But I don't like room temperature bacon.
Okay.
So most people, when they do bacon and chocolate, you eat it at room temperature.
Okay.
And so I said, is there something I can do where I can have bacon and chocolate and have it warm?
Yeah.
So fondue. I got the idea. Ooh, fondue. But when you're thinking about fondue, what is cream and butter? What are cream and butter? They're emulsions of fat and water.
Okay.
And I said, well, what if I just take the fat and water and think of the fat as bacon fat and mm-hmm. think of the water as beer?
Amazing.
Rather than using cream and butter. So you cook the bacon in the pan and you render off the fat, and then you put the bacon aside and you deglaze
the
pan.
You use the fat to make the chocolate?
Yeah, you deglaze the pan. God. You use the bacon fat to make the fondue.
That's sick.
But you deglaze the pan with beer. And so you use bacon-flavored beer. So you melt the chocolate. I use just a simple crock pot or something like that. You melt the chocolate, and instead of adding cream and butter, you add the bacon fat and the bacon-flavored beer.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you make it, and then you take the bacon, and you dip it in the bacon. And I did this for a beer event in March, I want to say. It was maybe February. And we had so much bacon, and it got served in slices. It got delivered to us in slices. We ended up deep frying the bacon.
Right.
So we're dipping deep fried bacon into the chocolate fondue, and it was insane.
That was so good.
But yeah, it's part of the fun of working with food is, you know, making this really simple observation. Oh, it's an emulsion of fat and water. Oh, well, if it's fat and water, I should be able to take any fat and any liquid.
Right.
Right. And combine them. And as long as I can get the ratios, and, you know, cream has a very, very specific ratio.
Chocolate
of fat
alchemy.
Water.
Like, this is awesome.
It's all fun. It's all fun. And, you know, it's one of those things. People think you have to be a super taster to do this kind of stuff. And I've actually discovered it's much more important to have a good taste memory.
Okay.
So I can imagine what the flavor of opal basil is.
Right.
And then if I'm thinking of something else, how would those two flavors go together? And so if you actually have a good flavor memory,
right,
then it becomes a whole lot easier to start making these combinations. And that's, you know, when
you're
I
like
do,
making music.
It is.
It's awesome.
Harmonies. And all these kinds of things.
The
bringing them together.
Part.
Boom. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I only do these things for special events.
Right. And that's how I met Clay. And we started talking, and I was like, this is so awesome. I said, are you by any chance a parent? Because, you know, that's usually my second my second question when I meet somebody interesting show is,
it's an interesting way.
Do you have children? Are you pregnant, or are you trying to get pregnant?
And it's also a way of finding out if, you know, somebody's marital status for the most part.
Not often. Children really has nothing to do with marital status. Whatever. It's a progressive country, world we're living in. But yeah, so when I meet somebody interesting that I think about, this would be good for growing good, my second question is, are you a parent? And he is a stepfather to three and father to two. All To one.
Just one.
All girls.
All girls. Four girls. Yeah.
I mean, that alone is like Medal of Honor. And I had the pleasure of talking with one of his daughter, the youngest.
Yeah.
And she has a passion for food, and Clay has taken her to like a chef event.
International pastry competition.
International pastry competition. And also, you know, he's brought all his progressive kitchen skills into his home. Your daughter was telling me where, you know, they know what the difference between something that's, you know, been processed and what's not. And like, you know, they just have a very, very higher taste. And we were just actually talking about your daughter. She's at sleepaway camp and she's decided that she doesn't like to cook.
Right.
And she's going to be a vegetarian for the summer.
That's correct.
To except make a stand against the camp.
Well,
food.
No, she's not going to be vocal about
it. I'm just saying,
it,
that's really awesome of her to be like, yeah, well, I'll just be a vegetarian for the summer.
That's right. It's very difficult
to get around this problem.
Very difficult to ruin salad. Right? You have to have a special talent to ruin salad. Yeah, except for the fact that she left all of her jerky making supplies with me. So I have the dehydrator and everything like that. So
okay,
she,
we're talking about like a 15-year-old girl here. 16? 15.
15. She's counting on me to make jerky for her this summer.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the growing good connection, you guys. This is a man who, you know, has been in food his whole half of his life, at least.
No, I'm older than I look.
Well, you look
unfortunately.
Great.
Actually, I was talking with your producer, and one of the things that was really good about this is that early on, between my freshman year in college and my sophomore year in college, I took 3 years off and lived in Portland, Oregon. And while I was there, I worked in non-commercial FM radio for a National Federation of Community Broadcasters radio station. And that's where I picked up the radio voice. So if you're at home, right, and you wonder, it's like, well, this guy's a foodie. How come he talks the way he does? It's because at one point, I used to stand and talk like this in front of the radio.
Anyway, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
I have this weird, eclectic background. And the great thing about it is I get to bring all that to everything that I do in chocolate these days. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, I have a good notion that you're going to be getting a lot of press on your current project. It's amazing. It's a great addition to Brooklyn community. There is nothing like it in all of Brooklyn. Right.
Well, he's selling. People think about chocolate in Brooklyn. They think about the Mass Brothers.
Well, no, there's this one other great place. It's true in Williamsburg, but like, still, you know, you're being backed by this, you know, huge company, Fine and Ross. So you're gonna get.
Oh no, it's a tiny company.
But I mean, everybody knows who it. You know,
I'm
not a chocolate person, and I know the.
Right. From an image perspective, Daniel's done a really good job. He understands the community, understands his products, and it's a good job of building the market and building the image of the company. But it's a small company, and what they've said is, in order to be able to grow, what we need to do is we need to take greater control of our production. We need to be able to produce not only more of what it is that we're doing right now, but we need to produce more different things. We actually need to produce, you know, other kinds of products to be able to meet the needs of other markets. So we've been approached by other food companies here in the area. So there's a bar in Astoria that says, we have brownies, we'd like you to make chocolate that we can bake into our brownies. And a company that makes ice cream locally has said, we'd like you to make
chocolate. So you're also going to be like a hub, you know, for exporting your wholesale goods to other people. So anybody that owns a business or running a business can also walk in and approach you.
We're looking to do, you know, private label production and some
kinds. That's great.
And some of the event work we'll be doing is I've been in the chocolate world for 18 years now, and have a whole lot of friends, many of whom work in
there's
a chocolate world.
I didn't even know that. I'm in. Does this make me in?
Yes, it makes you in.
I'm in.
And so I'm looking to bring the founder of an Italian chocolate company called Damori.
Okay.
He'll be here in the U.S. at the end of August for the U.S. Open. But we want to have him come into the factory and be able to do a tasting with what goes on. So bring his chocolate and talk about what it is he's doing. And his story is fascinating personally, and what it is that he's trying to achieve
in Venezuela, which is where he's sourcing. But that's great that you can bring all those things to Daniel's business and with you because of your 18 years. And we were talking really quick about your blog that you started yourself when you realized there was no chocolate critic and you were going to become the chocolate critic. And what's the website?
It was called chocofile.com.
It was? It's not there anymore?
It's not there anymore. If you go to chocofile.com, it will redirect you to thechocolatelife.com.
Okay.
So as I was promoting Discover Chocolate, I realized that the blog was really 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And that the future lay in social networks like Facebook.
Right.
And rather than trying to find a chocolate community and build a chocolate community on Facebook, what I did is I set up my own using software that I rent. Okay. And now I have a community of over 6,100 people in 140 countries. And it's like Facebook, but the only thing we talk about is chocolate.
And this is chocolatelife.com.
It's called thechocolatelife.com.
Thechocolatelife.com. So that's a sneak peek. The place is fine and raw. It's going to be coming to Morgantown, apparently. They're shooting for...
We'll be soft launching it in August. Apparently, there's a Heritage Radio Network party after Labor Day, like the 9th of September. And
cool, the little walkthrough, some tastings.
We hope to be able to, we plan to be able to have people who are coming to the event, coming to the party.
Well, I will definitely keep you posted on any soft opening or real openings you're having, and that's at Facebook-AlessandraMI, because I'm very, very excited about this. And it's been so great to have you, Clay, and I wish you all the luck. I know you're in the middle of building out. That can be exciting, but also hectic.
Yeah, we have water problems, and so trying to deal with the water.
I'm living up in the Catskills. I was telling him there's a drought. A couple of my friends' wells dried out, and it's just, you know, they got those big things like going boom, boom, boom into the ground till they hit water.
We have the opposite problem. We have so much water. Oh yeah, we're looking at creating a huge cistern and capturing it and using it for things around the factory. So,
well, like you said, you have a great team, and you stand behind them, and I'm so happy to have you in, and just keep a lookout. And anything else you want to share? We go.
No.
We covered everything.
He stopped talking the entire time. No, it's an incredible privilege. From a parenting perspective,
yes.
Having something you're truly passionate about and just following it and doing it is probably one of the best things you can do to encourage your children to go and connect with what, I mean, the chocolate life is a metaphor for connecting with your true inner passion and using that connection to drive personal, spiritual, professional growth, and then inspiring the chocolate life in other people. And that's what I do, whether it's my daughter, my stepdaughter, the people
her
in my
friends,
life. And
everybody.
It's just, you provide this example and everybody goes, cool. And hopefully what they'll do is that will help give them the courage to go and pursue really matters to them and make a difference in the world.
And that is a topic that we often hit on Growing Good. And I thank you so much for having me. If you do your passions, you'll set an example for your children. Love and light to you all. And we will see you next week. Tune in.
Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard. While we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.